Standing before her class in the 1970s, Jan Willis faced a challenging question from a young Black student. What does this Buddha guy and his Buddhism have to do with me? This question would shape her entire career. As someone who had marched with Martin Luther King Jr. before studying with Tibetan Buddhist masters, Willis embodied an unusual intersection of identities. Her journey from segregated Alabama to becoming one of Buddhism's most respected scholars represents a remarkable fusion of spiritual traditions. This Baptist Buddhist scholar created a body of work that speaks to universal human liberation while addressing the specific challenges faced by marginalized communities in American Buddhism. Born in segregated coal mining camps outside Birmingham, Willis's spiritual journey began in a devout Baptist family. At 15, she marched with Dr. King, witnessing firsthand how faith could fuel resistance to oppression. Later, as a college student, she traveled to Nepal, where she encountered Tibetan Buddhist refugees who had fled Chinese occupation. In these exiled Tibetans, Willis recognized fellow refugees who possessed remarkable spiritual resilience despite profound historical trauma. Throughout her career, she maintained a non-dualistic approach, famously stating, "I can use Buddhist methods to realize Baptist ideals." Her scholarship represents an early form of African-American Buddhist studies, distinguished by her unflagging concern for social justice. While Buddhist history often emphasizes male monastics, Willis reveals women's vital roles in Buddhism's survival and flourishing. She argues that understanding women's contributions requires looking beyond sacred texts to include secular histories and material culture. Despite predictions that women would diminish Buddhism, historical evidence suggests the opposite. Royal women like Queens Amrita Prabha, Jayamati, and Ratnadevi built monasteries and viharas, often independently of their husbands' faiths. During King Jayasimha's reign, 1128-49 CE, Ratnadevi's monastery construction helped revive Buddhism in Kashmir. Willis proposes creating a special lineage of renowned women practitioners spanning divine figures like Vajrayogini and Tara, historical figures like Mahamaya and Mahaprajapati, and accomplished practitioners such as Nyingma, Sukhasiddhi, and Yeshe Togyal. Two examples highlight women's profound impact. Gelongma Palmo, an Indian princess turned nun who developed the influential Nyingnas practice despite suffering from leprosy, and Machik Labdran, 1055-1449, who created Chode, a sophisticated tantric practice for cutting through ego clinging that achieved the rare distinction of being transmitted from Tibet back to India. At Buddhist gatherings, Willis often stands out as one of few Black participants. People of color frequently approach her afterward, expressing relief and sharing their experiences of isolation. This highlights a systemic lack of inclusivity in American Buddhist communities. Western Buddhist centers predominantly attract white, college-educated baby boomers, creating barriers beyond race that include class and education. While women and Asian Buddhists tend to recognize this homogeneity, Western men often remain unaware, reflecting broader patterns of privilege. Willis argues that Buddhism must become both physically and culturally accessible to African Americans. Current barriers include the financial demands of practice materials, teachings, and retreats, plus the leisure time required, resources often limited in communities of color. Yet Buddhism, particularly Tantric Buddhism, offers valuable tools for communities facing historical oppression. Its practices, like deity yoga, help practitioners transform limited self-perception and recognize their innate dignity and potential, as Willis's teacher Lama Thupten Yeshe emphasized. In 1981, Willis experienced a profound moment in Bangkok when she encountered a single Black Buddha statue among thousands of golden ones, a rare reflection of herself in Buddhist spaces. Through interviews with African-American Buddhist practitioners across Zen, Tibetan, and Theravada Vipassana traditions, Willis uncovered a consistent pattern. While they faced no discrimination during their studies in Asian Buddhist countries, their experiences in American Buddhist centers proved challenging. Lewis spoke of feeling marginalized, not seen, frustrated by white practitioners who lectured about racial equality without genuine understanding. Ralph Steele noted that Buddhist centers mirror societal biases, stating until practitioners deal with the fire inside themselves, the rejection, hate, anger, racism, there will always be conditioning in the fabric of those places. These practitioners offered guidance for people of color exploring Buddhism. Lama Dorje advocated for better representation, while Lewis balanced caution about racism with affirmation that the Dharma is worth it. Steele emphasized focusing on the teachings themselves rather than expecting practitioners to be unbiased. At a 2002 African American Buddhist retreat, a young Black woman questioned what gets lost when ancient wisdom traditions cross cultures. Western convert Buddhists have primarily focused on meditation, while overlooking the devotional practices and communal ceremonies central to traditional Asian Buddhism. In Asian Buddhist communities, meditation is just one element of spiritual life, with most practitioners focusing on temple offerings, ceremonies, and religious festivals. At Tibet's Sera J Monastery, only 50 monks among thousands were dedicated meditators. Willis challenges the idea that Buddhist practice requires abandoning one's original faith. As a Baptist Buddhist, she demonstrates interfaith integration through her prison work, explaining how Buddhist teachings helped her address practical challenges like loving hostile neighbors. American convert Buddhism remains largely inaccessible, requiring substantial financial resources and schedule flexibility that create barriers for many people of color. While the Dharma's core teachings transcend social categories, its Western institutional structure often reinforces existing inequities. Willis reveals how love forms the cornerstone of world religions. In Christianity, God is defined as love itself, while Buddhism expresses love through four divine abodes: loving-kindness, metta, compassion, karuna, sympathetic joy, mudita, and equanimity, upekkha. The Dhammapada states simply, hatred is never appeased by hatred, only by love. Dr. King's vision of a beloved community was rooted in interdependence and shared compassion, achieved through nonviolence. He urged loving even opponents. While abhorring segregation, we shall love the segregationist. Similarly, the Buddha sent his monks forth for the welfare of the many. Both traditions view compassion as wisdom in action. Buddhist metta meditation cultivates loving kindness toward all beings. As Shantideva wrote, "All the joy the world contains has come from wishing happiness for others, while all the misery comes from wishing happiness for myself alone." Willis's integration of Baptist compassion and Buddhist wisdom demonstrates how multiple traditions can address modern challenges, transforming ourselves to serve others. Willis's 1995 visit to Ladakh revealed nuns living as servants to monks, lacking spiritual training and respect. By 2003, the Ladakh Nuns Association had transformed their situation, tripling the nun population and restoring their role as spiritual practitioners. This evolution parallels needed changes in Western Buddhist communities. Despite masters like Kalu Rinpoche affirming gender's irrelevance to enlightenment, women practitioners struggle to find female role models in Buddhism's male-dominated history. People of color face similar structural barriers to participation. Willis's work shows how Buddhism can adapt to modern challenges while preserving its essence. Her experience bridging multiple worlds, Black and white, Baptist and Buddhist, academic and spiritual, demonstrates how ancient wisdom can address contemporary issues of race, gender, and belonging while maintaining its universal path to liberation.